Okay, good morning, everyone. Hope everyone is doing well. I apologize about yesterday. Today's daf is daf nun hey. So let's take it two lines down. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda have a Yosef kamei de Shmuel. The Rabbi Yehuda was once sitting in front of Shmuel. A certain woman came in front of him. Katavcha kamei was yelling at him, was crying. V'lohav mashchech ben Shmuel completely ignored her. So Amalei lo savor le ma'ar. So Rabbi Yehuda, who observed this, Rabbi Yehuda was the Talmud of Shmuel. He saw this and said, Amalei lo savor le ma'ar. The Shmuel does Rebbe not hold of the following pasuk? It says, O tame ozno mizakas dal, one who closes ears from the screaming of a poor person, gamhu yikov lo ya'ane. He's also going to call out and not be answered. So how do you ignore the cry of a woman? So Amar Lei Shinina. So Shmuel referred to Yehuda as a sharp one. His Talmud says Shinina, Reishach bikriri, Reisha de Reishach bichamimi. The head is in cold water. The head of the head is in hot water. What does that mean? So he explains. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says here, top line, Reishach bikriri, ani shani b'rabcha. I, Shmuel says, who I'm your Rebbe, ani nichva. I'm not going to get burned from this woman screaming. I've got no power. I'm not in control. Aval Mar Ukfa, who Rosh Li Vilacha, Mar Ukfa, who's my Rebbe and your Rebbe as well, he's Roshech Roshech, V'av Bezdin Yichav Becham, and he will be burnt and scalded by the hot water by not listening to her scream. As the Gemara says, going back inside, Ha Yosef Mar Ukfa Av Bezdin, Mar Ukfa was sitting and he was involved in the Bezdin here, and Dichsiv, he's the one in charge, he has control to help this lady out. Dichsiv, it says, Beis David Kamar Hashem Dinu Laboker Mishpat. He's going to judge the Mishpat in the morning. V'etzilu Gozom Yad Oshek, and steal the stolen from the one who is the Nigzal. Pentete Kaish Hamasi, lest my fiery anger come out and burn Uvara, Vein Mechabem Neroa Malehem. And it's good because of the evil what took place here. So it's the one who's involved, one who was in control. And Shmuel says, that's not me, that's Mar Ukva, who's the Av Bezdin. The Gemara then says, "Amar le Rabbi Zera le Rabbi Simon, lo chichinu mar lahani debei Reish Galusa." So we saw yesterday a little bit how what took place in Reish Galusa's house wasn't always so yashar. So Rabbi Zera says to Rabbi Simon, "Why don't you give tochacha? Lo chichinu mar lahani debei Reish Galusa." He says to Rabbi Asi, "You should give tochacha to Reish Galusa's house." So Amar le, he says, "Lo mekabli minai." They're not going to accept it. They're not going to mekabel the tochacha. Nonetheless, you should still be mochiach them. So the Amar Rabbi Acha Rabbi Chanina, may olam lo yatsa mida tova mipiakav b'shbaruch hu v'chazer balera. There was never a mida tova, a good deed that came out from the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he did not retract, except for just one that turned bad. But every other mida tova HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, he followed through. What was the one exception? Chutz midavar zeh, as it says, Dechsiv ayum Hashem elav avor besoch ha'ir besoch Yishalayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells the Malach to go through the city of Yishalayim. Vizvisu tov al mitzchos anashim, place a letter tough on the foreheads of the people. Ha'ne'anachim v'ne'anachim akol ta'ivos anasa b'tochacha. And those who are sighing and in great exhaustion from the different terrible ta'ivos that were taking place inside them. So what does it mean? So Amar Leh, the Gemara comments, Amar Leh Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Gavriel, it tells Malach Gavriel, he was the one in charge, he was the Mida of Din here. Leich urisham al mitzcha mashal tzadikim tov shel dio. Place a tuff of ink on the foreheads of these people. Shlo yishlatu behem malach echabala, when the malach echabala, the angels of destruction come and start killing those who deserve to be killed, I want that to be protection for those who are innocent. So place a tuff on the foreheads of the tzadikim. Val mitzcham shel risham tuff shel dam. But on the foreheads of the Rishab, you should place a tuff of blood. So this way the Malach HaSharis, Malach HaChavala rather, know how to distinguish to those who are tzaddikim and who deserve to be saved, and those who are Rishab who deserve to be killed. Kadei Shilishatu Behem Malach HaChavala. So Malach HaChavala knows who to be attracted to, who to kill. That was with a tuff of blood. Amri Midas Adin. Midas Adin now comes and pipes in and says, Levinei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribono shel olam, ma nishanu elu me'elu. What's the difference between these and those people? Why do these have a tough shel dio and these have a tough shel dam? Amar Lei, Kadosh Baruch Hu says very simple. Halu tzadikim gemurim, v'halu rishim gemurim. These are tzadikim, these are rishayim. Amar Lefanav, the Midas Din says to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono shel olam, haya b'yadam lemachos v'lamichu. Midas Din says to Kadosh Baruch Hu, but the tzadikim should have protested. They should have protested that they were doing the wrong thing. They didn't protest, so they should be held responsible, even the tzadikim. So, Amar Lei, Galev Yadul Fanai, Shem Yichu Behem, Lo Yikablu Behem. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to the Midas Adin, in front of me, Galev Yadul Fanai, in front of me, It's clear. Even had they protested, lo yikalu b'hem, they wouldn't accept it. But in front of them, they wouldn't. The tzaddikim, they don't know. They have an obligation to be mochiach. They don't know how it will be received or not. So in front of them, they don't know. They have no idea. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, maybe for you, you know how you're aware that they won't be mekabel, but the tzaddikim are not aware. So the tzaddikim should be mochiach them, and they weren't. They should be held responsible. And therefore, based on this, the Kadosh Baruch Hu retracted that even though initially he said the Midah Tova, he said, say the Tzaddikim, he retracted based on this Midas Din, that the Tzaddikim had no idea they wouldn't be Makabo the Tochacha. And therefore, we're going to see that they were actually punished. Hainu Dichsev, that's what it says in the Pasuk, Zakin, Bachor, Ubisula, Vitaf, Vinashim, all types of people, the old, the young, the innocent, the infants, the women, targul mashes are going to be killed by the mashes. Bakolisha she'alav ataf shel altigashu. Those of ataf don't touch. Mimikdashi tachelu and begin destroying from those who are kadosh. Uchsiv vayachelu banashim as the kain mashil lefnei abayis and start begin with those the elders who are in front of the house. And Tanya of Yosef altikri mikdash. I don't say my mikdash, my mikdash, my makom mikdash. Ela mikudashai, the individuals who have become kadosh, even the tzaddikim, elu bnei adam. These are the people shekimu es haTorah kula me'alef ve'ataf. Those people who kept the Torah from alef to taf, even they will be killed. Umiyad, it says immediately after v'hinei shisha anashim b'midach shahe elyom. The six individuals came from the upper gate. Asher mafnet tzavona, that was the direction of the north. V'ish kol kli mapatza biyado. Each person had some type of broken weapon in the hand. V'ish echad misochem lavash badim. One of them among them was wearing linen. V'kesses a sofer. V'masa was holding on to a utensil of a scribe. V'avovi amdu etam mizbech nechoshin. They stood up until the copper mizbech. So Gemara says mizbech nechoshes mihava was their copper mizbech in the times of Yechezkel. So Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, what it meant was not the copper mizbech. His chilu makom shamum shira lefada. I start from the place where they would sing a song and they'd use copper instruments. In other words, the levim, as Rashi says. Rashi says makom shamum shira min halavim. Start with the levim shamum shir bechli nechoshes. They would use copper instruments. So begin from them. Uman ninhu shisha anashim. Who are these six individuals? Amrav Chisa. They were not men. Rather, they were ketef. These are names of different angers. Nefim malachim. Malecha chavala. Ketef. Af. Vechema. Umashkes. Umeshaber. Umechala. These six individuals, six malachim, six forces came and destroyed the city, including even the tzaddikim. So this is the one example where Kadosh Baruch Hu retracted. And we see why, because they weren't mocha. So we see there is an obligation to be mochiach, to give rebuke, even though they may not, and you may not think, they will be mekabel. So before going right to look at Tosfos on the very top here, Tosfos says, v'af agav de lo mekabel lo chichinu mar, even though they won't be mekabel, so still Rabbi Zera was suggesting that you should give tochacha, to the Beit Reish Galusa, like the whole mice we just brought. So Tosfos says, hainu hecha de safik, it's only true if there's a level of suffix that you don't know. You're unclear that there's a possibility, maybe they will, maybe they won't. Then you should still give tochacha. If you know for sure, 100% you know, however you know that, you know 100% they will not listen. Mutav, Shushogin, Vayu Mizidim, we have a concept, the Gemara in Beit, the Gemara in Yuma, Gemara elsewhere. Al Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, as Tosa says, where there's an example, that Tosefes Yom HaKippurim is a din de araisa, and the Gemara says that women blatantly violate Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. They don't start Yom Kippur when they're supposed to, they wait a few minutes later to begin, so they're violating the mitzvah of the araisa of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. And yet, the Gemara says, just don't say a thing, let them be shogim, better for them to be on a lower rung of violation of shogim and not to be violating mezidim. So we see that there are examples where we say not to be mochiach. So how come? So we see the different levels. If they're vada, going to be mekabel, so you should give tochacha. And even if there's a safek, you should give tochacha. But if you know 100% that they won't be mekabel, then a person should, in fact, not give tochacha. Now, Tosos in Beit, when he talks about at what point a person should give tochacha, he distinguishes between that which is mefurish min haTorah and that which is ein mefurish min haTorah. He says, when something's mefurish min haTorah, then one must give tochacha, regardless of whether it be mekabel or not. Even if you know 100% sure they won't be mekabel, you must give tochacha. But when it's something that's not mefurish min haTorah, so then you don't give tochacha if you know for sure they won't listen. And since Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, although it's a din deraisa, it's not mefurish, it's based on a drasha, So then Tosfos says that's why you didn't come to Tochacha. But if it's Mefurish min HaTorah, Afagav, even though you know they won't listen, then you must give Tochacha. So they ask a question based on this Gemara here. This whole discussion of the story of Yerushalayim, the destruction of Yerushalayim, they're violating Toevos, which are the Arayos, this week's Parsha, which are blatantly Surah, Mefurish min HaTorah, so then they should have a Tochacha, even though they won't listen. Because if it's Mefurish min HaTorah, you must give Tochacha, according to Tosfos, even if they won't listen. So the answer that Achronim is, they explain, Rav Yashav explained, that no. In a situation that's Mefurish min HaTorah, and they're not going to listen, you still have a Chiyev al Tochacha, but you're not held responsible if you're not mochiach. And that's what we learn here. They're not responsible if not being mochiach. But there is a chiv. So again, the different levels are, there's a chiv tochacha in every case, and even if they won't listen, if it's mefurish matara, and if it's not mefurish matara, and they won't listen, then you're not chayv. But even though you're chayv to give tochacha on that which is mefurish matara, even though they won't listen, you're not responsible, you're not punished if you don't give tochacha. That's what Rav Yashav says. Back inside the Gemara now, the Gemara says as follows. We're up to the word Umayshna Tuf. Umayshna Tuf. The Gemara says, I'm looking for the line 1 second here. Here we have a few wide line, medium wide lines down. The Gemara says, run to the 6 wide lines down. Umayshna Tuf. Why are we using a Tuf? Why was a Tuf the symbol placed on the heads of these individuals, the Tzadikim and the Rishayim? So Umayshna Tuf. So the Gemara gives a few different pshatim. Amar Rav, Tuf. Tichya, Tuf, Tumas. The letter Tuf can be used to be Tichya and Tumas. It could symbolize, if it's in blood, it means to Tumas. And if it's Dio, it means to live, to Tichya. Shmuel Amar, Tama Zuchus Avos. Because Lashon Tuf is Tama, that they lost their Zuchus Avos. The Zuchus Avos no longer existed. So this is part of a larger discussion, but I'll just look at Tosfos just for a second without going into greater detail. Tosfos writes, Shmuel Amar, Tama Zuchus Avos. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Tichayin Tachon Zuchus Avos. We didn't see Rabbi Yochanan in the Gemara yet, but either way, Omer Rabbeinu Tam, the Zuchus Avos Tama, of a Bris Avos Lo Tama. Zuchus Avos, the Zichuyos of the Avos have ceased. We no longer have Zuchus Avos. Those were used up according to Shita Shmuel. But the Bris Avos, the promise we have that were given to the Avos, the Bris Bein Basarim and all the other Brisim that are mentioned in Psukim, that doesn't cease to exist. We still have a connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu from the Bris Avos, but we don't have the various zechuyos. What that means exactly, not entirely sure, but just look at Rashi, rather Tosfos. He says, the Haksiv, it says in the Pasuk, V'zacharet is Bris Yaakov, V'af l'achar galus, V'anun einanu maskirin zechus Avos, Ela Bris. So even afterwards, we don't have the zechuyos of the Avos, we still do have the Bris of the Avos. That's what Tosfos writes. So now back inside, the Gemara says, we said Shmuel, now Rashitas Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Tachan Zuchus Avos, that Tachan Lashon of a Chain, that we still do have Zuchus Avos in a positive way. We still have the Zuchuyos of Avos. So that's Machlokus between Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, whether we still have Zuchus Avos or not. Reish Lakish Amar, Taf Sof Chosamah Shekadosh Baruch Hu, that Taf is the final letter of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's signature. As we know, the Amar Bichanino Chosamah Shekadosh Baruch Hu, MS. That the signature of Kadosh Baruch Hu's MS, that's based on the Gemara in Yuma, where they were davening to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and then they a paper fell from heaven with the MS, and they learned from there that Kadosh Baruch Hu signs his name as MS, so Tuf is the final letter of the signature, that's why a Tuf was used. And Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar, he had said, Elu b'nei adam shekimu es haTorah kula me'alef v'ataf. It represents those who kept the Torah from A to Z, from Aleph to Tuf. So now the one wants to know, at what point exactly me'imasai tama zuchus avos, according to the Shmuel Shita, who holds that we lost the zuchus avos, at what point did we lose it? At what point did it expire? So Amar Rav Mimos Hoshea ben Bi'iri, at his time, the time of the Navi Hoshea, is when we lost zuchus avos. Shenemar, it says, agal es navlusa le'enei me'avem, going to expose the disgust, the nevela, to the eyes of the loved ones. V'ish lo yetzlenim yado, no one's going to protect you. So we see from there that they lost zuchus avos. Shmuel himself, Shmuel the one who's the author of the statement of Talmud Zuchus Avos, Shmuel pipes in and says, Shmuel Amar, Mei Mimei Chazal. The days of Chazal, Shenemar says, V'chazal Melech Aram Lachatz Etz Yisrael Ko Yimei Yehoachaz. That the king of Aram, Chazal, was oppressing during the days of Yehoachaz. The Chassid says, V'yachan Hashem Osam V'yachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chayin. He had mercy on them. V'yifen Aleim Laman Brisa as Avram Yitzhak V'yakov. He turned to them because the bris he had, the treaty, the covenant he had with Avram Yitzhak and Yaakov, Lo'ava, Hishchitzme, he didn't want to destroy them. Lo'ishlichu Me'apanav Adat, and didn't want to destroy them until now. So there was bris avos, but at that point there wasn't zuchus avos. And then it says, Rabbi Shimon ben Levi Amar, he weighs in and says, Mimei Eliyahu, from the days of Eliyahu, is when the Zechus Avos expired. Shenemar says, Vayhi Ba'alos HaMincha, when he brought the Mincha, Vayhi Gashelo Eliyahu HaNavi, and Eliyahu HaNavi approached, Vayumar Hashem Elokei Avram Yitzhak V'Yisrael, that the God of our Avos, Hayom Yivada, the day, this day they will know, Ki Atel Elokim B'Yisrael, you are the God of Am Yisrael. Vani Avdecha, I am your servant, Ubedvarcha, Asisi Eish called Me'elam, with your word, I had done everything. And then that's the place where that he remembered Zechus Avos, but implies Hayom. Look at Rashi. Rashi says Hayom Yivada Shata Zocher Bris Avram Yitzchak VYaakov Midkama Hayom. Today Yivada will be known. Today says Elio Vesulo. But beyond today, it won't be known. Beyond this day, the Zechus Avos will expire. Michlal Dechama Detama implies that it expired. By De Rachman, who's Karlahem Bimei Chazal. And it was through Rachman that was mentioned, but through the Din, Mitas Din, Zechus Avos expired Mimei Elio. Then the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochan Amar Mimei Cheskiyahu, he gives yet another explanation as to when Zechus Avos stopped. Shenemar says, in the times of Cheskiyahu, Lemarbe Hamisra, L'Shalom Ein Kates, to the increase of peace. There's no end. Akisa David, the throne of David, Ramamlachto, and his kingdom. Lachin also lasada b'mishpat, in order to establish, in order to have justice. Ubitztaka me'atav adolam, kinash Hashem tzvakos, tase zos. So here, if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says that b'mei chizkiyo d'chziv me'atav adolam, kinash Hashem tzvakos, tase zos, v'lo z'chus avos. The only way that Klal Yisrael was protected was not because of Zechus, it was because we earned it, because we had a Zechus that was still going. Rather, from this point on, it was only through the kin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through his jealousy, through his protection, but that wasn't Zechus Avos. So these are a few different opinions when the Zechus Avos expired. So the Gemara now says, last few lines, the Gemara says, continuing the Aganata, Amar Ravami Ein Misa Belo Chet Vein Yisurin Belo Avon. People don't die without sin, and people don't get punished without sin either. Meaning the cause of death and the cause of a punishment, Yisurim, are both on an account of Chet or Avon. So Ein Misa Belo Chet, how do you see death only comes because sin? The Chesivit says, HaNefesh HaChet HaChodes, the soul that sins, he, Thomas, he's going to die. Ben Loisa Ba'avon Ha'avon, Bab Loisa Ba'avon Ha'ben, the child should not be responsible for the sins of the father, nor vice versa. And Tzidkas HaTadak Alav Tiev, Rishas Rasha Alav Tiev. So we see that Nefesh HaChodes, he, Thomas, it's the sin that causes death. Ein Yisurin below Avon, and punishment doesn't come without sin. The Chesiv Ufakadi B'Shevet Pisham Uvenegaim Avonim. The Negaim types of plagues and punishments come about because of Avonim, because of sins. So asks the Gemara now on the top of Amud Beis here, Meisive. Amu Malachim Sharis Lidnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. They said in front of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, the Malachim said, Ribono Shel Olam, B'tnei Ma Kanas De Misa Shel Adam Rishon. Why was Adam Rishon punished and penalized with death? I gave him one simple command, one simple mitzvah, and he violated it. Told him, don't eat from the Eitz HaDaas, and he did. Moshe Aaron kept all Tariq mitzvahs. They didn't sin at all, and yet they died. So why are they responsible? So I understand why Adam died. He didn't have error. But what did Moshe Aaron do wrong? Amalem says Mikra Echal Tzadik LeRasha LeTov. So we see that it's the same end to both a Tzadik and a Rasha. That even though they did nothing wrong, if you're in the world of Adam Arisha, in the world of the we live in, there's Misa. That's part of life, part of nature. So we see that Moshe and Aaron died, even though they didn't violate Averus. So how can we say in Amun Aleph that Misa below Avon doesn't exist without Chet, and yet Moshe and Aaron died without Chet? And the Gemara says, Hu Amar Damar Kiyai Tana Rav Ami holds like the following Tana, that in fact Moshe and Aaron did sin. The Tanya, the Brisa says that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Af Moshe and Aaron Bechetam Esu, they died with their sin. Shinemar says, Yan Le'emantim Bi, you didn't trust in me. Ha Ha'emantim Bi, had you trusted in me, Adayin Lo Giyaz Manchem Li Pater Min Olme, would not have even been your time yet to depart from the world. So they also did an Avera, and therefore they were held responsible, and that's what caused their death. So Mesu, but the Gemara asks further, Arba Mesu be'etyo shenachash. There are four people who died on an account of the Nachash's advice, his involvement. In other words, that they were complete tzaddikim, and the only reason why they died was because part of nature is that people die. That only came into being the Nachash. We discussed the other day that a Nachash I think we discussed the other day, the Nachash brought death into the world by him causing other Mechava to violate the Aveira. Now death became a reality, so people, human beings, must die. So there were four people who were able to actually live as Tzadikim Gemurim, never sinned in their life, and the only reason why they died was because they're human. And death is a part of life based on the Nachash. Who are the four? So just itself is worthy of a drasha, these four individuals, because if you were to guess the four individuals, they may not align with the four greatest leaders or tzaddikim in our minds. Ve'elohin, Binyamin ben Yaakov, Va'amim avi Moshe, Vishai avi David, Ve'kilava ben David. So three of them you probably know, Kilav you may or may not have heard of, but of course they're all tzaddikim, they never sinned. But in the end of the day, what was fascinating about them was their fathers or children were greater than they themselves. That Binyamin was, of course, Binyamin tzaddik, but Yaakovinu was Yaakovinu. Amram was Amram, but Amram's son was Moshe Rabbeinu. And Yishai's son was David HaMelech. And David was the father of Kilav. But how come David's not on the list? How come Moshe's not on the list? How come Yaakov's not on the list? And the answer is partially as part of some level of Musar that in order to be a leader, sometimes it involves, or oftentimes it involves a lot of risk. Risking one's life and overcoming challenges and overcoming Averas and Yetaharas. And this is something that they all had overcome throughout their life and made them great leaders. So we would never encourage someone to involve themselves in Averas, Chas V'Shalom, but part of challenging a person and becoming great is involving themselves or overcoming challenges like this. Either way, back to the Gemara. So these four, Binyamin, Amram, Yishai, and Kilav, were all tzaddikim who only died because of the Nachash. Because of a part of nature that Nachash placed in human beings. The Kula Gemara says, all of them were a tradition. We have a Masorah that these people died as tzaddikim without any Avera. Levar Yishai Avi, with the exception of Yishai Avi David, Yishai the father of David, that we don't need a Gemara from, that we have a Pasuk that tells us. So it tells us as follows, the Mefarish Beikra, the Pasuk explained, the Chsiv Ves Amasa, Sam Avshalm, Tachaz Yov Al Tzava, Amasa Ben Ish, Ushmo Yisro, a Yisraeli, Asher Baal Avigal Bas Nachash, Achos Tzuya Im Yov. Avigal was the daughter of the Nachash, so the sister of Tzuya. So Gemara says, V'chi Bas Nachash Avi, was Avigal the daughter of the Nachash? She wasn't the daughter of a Nachash, her father wasn't a snake. Halo Bas Yishai Havi, she was the daughter of Yishai, Yishai was the father. Dechsev Avach Yosem and Tzuya of Avigal. Tzuya and Avigal were sisters, and they were the daughters of Yishai, the sisters of David. So why are they calling Avigal Bas Nachash? Ella Bas Mi Shemes Bi'etio Shanachash. That Avigal was the daughter of he who was killed on an account of the Nachash. In other words, Yishai was a tzaddik and he only died because of the Nachash. So the Gemara now says, Samani, who's the author of the money? Who's the author of the Braisa? So Ilema, this whole long Braisa we just brought, this is supposed to be a question that these four tzaddikim died because of the Nachash. It's supposed to be a question, started off as a Mesive. So who authored the Braisa? Ilema Tana, the Malachi Shares. If it says that the Malach HaShares was the one that Kadosh Baruch was talking with here, Va'ikam Moshe V'Aaron, so it's, 1 second here. But if it's saying that the Braisa about the Malach HaShares, that they were saying how come David and Moshe died, so Va'ikam Moshe V'Aaron, Moshe and Aaron were also tzaddikim. In the eyes of the Malach HaSharis, they said, why did Moshe Aaron die? Moshe Aaron also tzaddikim. So Moshe Aaron also tzaddikim, they should be in the same list here of Binyamin and Amram and Yishai and Kilav, and they weren't. So this Braisa can't be authored by that discussion of the Malach HaSharis. So, Elalav Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. It must be Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who's the author of this Braisa, who's the one who said that Moshe Aaron actually taka did a sin, and therefore they died. So if he's the author, Shema Mina, we learn from here, Yesh Misa B'lo Avon, Yesh Yisrim B'lo Avon. So we do have actually an example of these four tzaddikim who died without there being a chet. So this goes against the statement we started off with on the bottom of Nun Hem and Aleph, where Rabbi Ami had said, Ein Misa B'lo Avon. But here, these four tzaddikim did die B'lo Avon. And the Gemara says, Tiyufta, Rabbi Ami, Tiyufta. This, in fact, is a question on Rabbi Ami that is a Tanaic statement, a Braisa, that goes against an Amora, or an Amora that really goes against the statement in the Braisa. So we see from here that in fact, other than these four, people do die Ein Misa B'lo Avon, but there were exceptions, which were these four, that they died even without there being an Avon. Gemara now says, on a similar line to what we were saying, this whole discussion about people who sin, the great tzaddikim and personalities of Tanakh, who sinned or may not have sinned them. So the Gemara says, Amr Bishmuel bar Nachmani, Amr Bionasan, Kola Omer Ruvain Chata, Eno Elotoa. Those who say that Ruvain sinned are quite mistaken. Shanamar, as it says, by Yehu b'nei Yaakov, 12 milame chakulan shkulam ka'acha. Said there were 12 of them, and tells us that all 12 of them were equal, that all 12 of them were tzaddikim, they did not sin in such a level. So elamani mekayim vayishkav es bilha pilagish avi. What does it mean? The pasuk went sound like that Reuven slept with the pilagish of his father Yaakov. So milamed shebilbul matzo ashel aviv. He just had messed up the bed. He turned over the bed of his father. Umala lavakasu kilu shachavima, and it was considered as if he had slept with her, but he certainly did not. So that just is an interesting question, actually, because here we say that kol haomer Reuven chata ein ela toa, but there's a gemara in Tilda that zayin amid beis, whereby it says when you're talking to the sota, you're trying to convince her that, you know, we don't want her to drink this mesota, we don't want to have to erase Hashem's name and put it into the water. We try to convince her to admit what she did wrong, and we give her a lot of examples throughout Tanakh, throughout history, where people, great people, had done averos and they admitted to doing something wrong. And one of the people we say in the Gemara there is Reuven. We say Reuven, he admitted to doing something wrong and he wasn't embarrassed. And he was zochet olam haba. So you too, don't be embarrassed. It's better to admit than have to cause Hashem's name to be erased and go through the terrible process and punishment of the sota. The Rambam brings this down as well, that you talk about what Reuven had done with the Pelagish Aviv. He did his zus, and yet he admitted to it. So here the Gemara says that no, we say Reuven is sinned. Reuven did not sin. Kol amir Reuven chata in alatoa. So if Reuven didn't actually sin, how could we use this as a motivation, as inspiration to her to have her admit? It's false. It's incorrect. This is not true. So what the Chuvas Rama writes, Chuvas Rama says that there's a chiddush gadol here, that we're able to bring a gnus to the tzaddik, even though it's not true, even though it wasn't emes, even though he didn't sin, if it means we're going to protect the Kadosh Baruch Hu's name from being erased, we're allowed to misrepresent the story and have it be and speak it in a disgraceful way about Reuven, just to help her save the shame of Hashem. But it didn't really happen. So this is one of the examples that goes on the list. The Gemara Bava Metzia says there are a few items we're allowed to lie about. There are just three. And throughout Shas, you have more and more. So the Gemara Bava Metzia says you can lie about Masechta, about learning Masechta. You can lie about Puria, which is a machlokus. That means Puria could either mean Purim or can mean having Tashmish. And a third, Gemara says you could also lie about where you stayed. If you stayed at a person's house and it was such a nice accommodation, if you tell them how nice it was, people are going to bombard them and stay there all the time. So those are three things you're allowed to lie about. The Gemara says other places, in Yivamos, you could lie about Shalom Bayis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu lied with regards to Avram and Sarah. Sarah said that my husband Avram's too old. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu reported back to Avram, he said, why did Sarah think that Sarah's too old? But Sarah didn't say she was too old. Sarah said that Avram's too old, according to one pshat. So we see that even HaKadosh Baruch Hu lied, who's Midas Emes, who's Chos Amos Midas Emes. So you could lie for Shalom Bayis. There's a Gemara in the beginning of Ksubas that says you could lie in terms of Ketzer Ma'achil Tanei Akala, that Beis Shammai says if she's not pretty, don't say she's pretty, don't say no. And Basil says, you always say she's not. Does that mean he's lying? Does it mean there's always beauty from a woman? But these are some examples. But another case is here. To prevent the mechias of shame, to erasing a Kaddish Baruch Hu's mechikas Hashem, to prevent the erasing of a Kaddish Baruch Hu's name, you could lie also about this Maisa of Reuven. Back inside the Gemara now, the Gemara says, we are up to now, that Tani Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Mutzal Oso Tadik Me'oso Avam, that Reuven was protected from the oven. He actually wanted to violate the Avera with Bila, but he stopped. How was he saved? Below Ba Maisa Zeliado, and it ended up not happening. Baruch Hashem. So Efsher Asid Zaro Amud Lamud Al Har Eval. Is it possible that his children, Reuven's children, would stand at Har Eval Velomar and say, Arur Shochevim Eish Aviv, the cursed be he who sleeps with his father's wife. So Vevochet Zeliado, and this hate comes to his hand. Just as an aside, Bila is the Pilegish, not the Eish Aviv. So that becomes a discussion how you define a Pilegish versus a wife. Perhaps at the times, even Pilagshim were considered wives, but that's just interesting to note. So either way, it says further, Elamani Mekayim Vayishkav is Bila Pilegish Aviv. So how do you understand that he slept? If it says literally he slept with the Pilegish of his father, Yaakov. So Elbon Imo Tava, he was trying to protect his mother Leah. Rachel just had died, and Yaakov moved into with Bila, the Pilegish. So what happened to his mom Leah? He felt bad for his mom. So he says, Amar im achos imi haisa tsar limi. My mother's sister, Rachel, was considered a competitor, a tzara, a causing trouble, a rival to my mom. Shifchas achos imi, the shifcha of my mother's sister, Te tzara limi, she should be now another competitor, another rival. Amar Bilbul as matzah, therefore he took the bed and messed it up and switched them around. So Tachem, others say, Shtei Matzalos Bilbal, he had messed up two different beds. Achash Shechina, Achash Shaveh. One was the bed of the Shechina, if you will, and one was the bed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just one second here. So there was a Rashi. They look at Rashi. Rashi says four narrow lines down. Achash Shechina, Kachaya Yaakov Ose Arbarba Ole Nashiv. This is how you do with the four wives, and all four wives were alive. Mamin Mita Lishchina. He would place a bed for the Shechina. Uva Ose Oel Shiroa Boashchina Huba Vilan Ose Laila. So where he would place an extra bed, and wherever Yaakov would see or sense the Shechina, so then he would. That's where he would sleep that night. That's how he decided. How else would he decide? It was a certain Gorel he would have. So when he messed it up, he placed the bed in a different house, the house of his mother. So he's messing at the achas mita shashchin of achas shel aviv. That's what it means in the pasuk. As chilalta yitzui alai altig yitzui ela yitzui, which implies two beds. He had mixed up two beds: the beds of the shechina and the beds of his father Yaakov. So the Gemara then says that ketanai. There's really machlokas tanaim whether or not Reuven sinned or not. Pachas kamaim al toser describes the. Yaakov described, gave the bracha to Reuven, described them as pachas kamaim. It came pouring out like water, al tosar, without any extra. What does that mean? So how do you understand the word pachas? So Rabbi Elazar Omer, it's a Rashi Tevos. Pasta, chavta, zalsa. That's a pachas. We're going to see a number of these. Pasta means you acted quickly. Chavta means you became chayiv. And zalta means you mezalzo. Rabbi Shua, that sounds like he didn't have air. Rabbi Shua Omer, pasata al das. Chatasa and Tanisa. That's what Pacha stands for. Pasata Adas, you had trampled on top of the din, the halacha. Chatasa, you sinned. Zanisa, you had acted in znus. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Pilata, Chalta, Zarcha, Tulascha. Pilata means you daven. Chalta means you begged your Kaddish Baruch Hu to help you out. Zarcha, Tulascha, and your tefillah was shining. So it sounds like you did you davened, unclear. So Omer Gamliel, Adain Tzichin Anu L'Modai, we still need Modai to explain what went on here. The Rebbe Lazar Modai Omar, Hafoch Es Hateva V'Darsha. Do it opposite, read the letters opposite, and it should read Zizata, Hitarta, and Parcha Chet Mimcha. He's learning the letters Pachata, Pachas opposite, Zayin Ches Pei. So Zizata means you trembled, Hitarta was you step back, and Parcha Chet Mimcha, and the sin flew away. So you stopped, you held back, and you didn't do it over here. So Rebbe Omar, Amri Le others say Rebbe Yirmiyah Bar Abba, Pachas means also backwards. Zecharta onshe shadavar chilisa atmecha choli gadol and pirasha milachato means zecharta onshe shadavar means you remember the punishment for doing a sin. Chilisa atmecha choli gadol and you held yourself back. You made yourself chola sick to hold yourself back and pirasha milachato and you had prevented yourself from violating an avera. So we see that some of the opinions felt that he did an avera and some of the opinions here felt that he did not do an avera. He actually held back. So then the Gemara quotes just a mnemonic quickly, Reuven b'nei Eli, b'nei Shmuel, David, Ushlamo, v'yoash, with the simon. So the Gemara says that, Amr b'nei Shmuel b'nei Achman, Amr b'yonasan, Kola Omer b'nei Eli, Chatu, Einu, Elatoa. Those who think that b'nei Eli actually violate a sin, they are mistaken. So it says, Shenemar, it says, V'sham shnei b'nei Eli, there are two children of Eli, Chafni u'Pinchas, Kwanim Lashem. They were the two children, they were the Kwanim. So, Savra la Karav, Amar Rav Pinchas lo Chata, that he holds like Rav Pinchas, rather like Rav, that Pinchas did not sin. And once that we establish that Pinchas didn't sin, Makish Chofni the Pinchas. Now, Chofni, by pairing together Pinchas, he also did not sin. So, just like Pinchas didn't sin, neither did Chofni. Ma Pinchas lo Chata, Af Chofni lo Chata. And Elamani Mekayim Asher Yishkvun Es Hanashim. So what does it mean when the Bnei Eli, it says the Bnei Eli slept with the women? So it means Mitoch Sheshia Es Kinam. They delayed the bringing of the Kinam, the baskets, the birds of the Karban Yolades, Shalhalchu Eta Balam. They were delayed in bringing the Karbanos, which meant that the women were delayed in going back to be with their husbands. Ma'ala Alem Akasav Kilu Shechavam. The Torah considered it, the Pasuk considered it as if they had slept with the wives, but they didn't actually. They just delayed the bringing of the Yolades. They were insensitive to the needs of the husbands and wives. So the Gemara says now, Gufa, we said above, Amara, the Pinchas Lochata, how do you know Pinchas never sinned? Shenemar, it says, Va'achia ben Achitov, Achi Ichav, the brother of Ichav ben Pinchas, ben Eli, Kohen Hashem. So Efshe Chet Bal Yado Akasim Yachso. If Pinchas actually sinned, would he be part of the Yichas, bring back the Yichas of Achia? Achia, the great Tzaddik Achia, would be linked to Pinchas. Had Pinchas sinned, it must therefore be that Pinchas didn't sin. V'alo kvar nemar, then say Yachos Hashem L'isha Sheyasen. Now Kadosh Baruch Hu cuts off those who do that which is Erev Ona Me'ol Yaakov U'magish Mincha L'Hashem Tzvakos. Those who cut off man and do what Erev Ona did, so they are going to be cut off from the tent of Yaakov. Their Yichas won't be delineated. So it must be the fact that he is delineated here. That Pinchas is part of the lineage. The Yichas here must be that he did not sin. And just like he didn't sin, by comparison, Chafni didn't sin either. So, im Yisrael hu lo yelo er, b'chamim lo oneh b'tamidim. If he is a Yisrael, so then he's not going to be descendant, won't be alert. What it means is he won't be, no one will accept what he says in the base medrash. Er b'chamim lo oneh b'tamidim. And he won't answer to tamidim. He won't have a response as a Talmud. So, vim koinu, and if he's a koin, the Gemara darshins, lo yelo ben, he won't have a child, magish mincha, his child won't be a koin to work in the Beis HaMikdash. So you see from this, that this pasuk, a person who does that, what he shouldn't be doing, he's going to be cut off, as Yisrael, be cut off from learning the Beis Medrash properly, he won't be accepted, his words won't be listened to, and if he's a koin, he's going to be, he won't be serving in the Beis HaMikdash. So the fact that Pinchas was serving, and it must be that he was, he did not sin. So, elav shmarina Pinchas lachata. Gemara says, Ella haksiv asher yishkivum, but doesn't say that they slept with the wives. Yishkivein ksiv, that only one of them violated, but not both of them. So, haksiv, but doesn't say, al banai kilo tova hashmua, that my sons, the report that was not good, that sounded like two sons. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak b'ni ksiv, it should be read as b'ni, my child, one child had sinned. The haksiv ma'avirin, that they violated it. Amr of Huna, Breda of Yeshua, Ma'avirom Ksiv, only one of them transgressed it. V'haksiv b'nei b'liyal, the children of b'liyal. So, mitok she'yal pinchas l'machas l'chafni, v'lomicha ma'ala v'kazav kiluchata. So, even though, so it goes back to the point, that's why he brought it here, that Pinchas should have been mochiach his brother Chafni, and he didn't. Since he did not, he was considered responsible as well. So what comes out from this, none of them actually slept with the wives, but Chafni delayed the bringing of the karbanos, and therefore his ki'ilu, he was shachav. So even though only Chafni was the one who was doing this, Pinchas was held responsible as well, since he had the opportunity to mocha his brother, and he did not, it was ki'ilu, he was also involved in the same aver. Okay, we'll stop here, and mitzvah Hashem, we will, I guess, continue tomorrow, and we'll finish the perek tomorrow together. Everyone have a wonderful day.